Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoyed this message.
I want to welcome all those going to watch this on A Heart After God and also on podcast. You're in the room with us. We love you. You know, I talked to you last week about passing the test, and I told you that life is a test. Okay, life's a test. You don't have to be in school to continue to take tests because you just got to live and you'll be faced with tests, okay? And all the married people said, come on now, all right, amen. And all the parents said, and everybody with a job said, come on, right? You don't got to go very far to realize that life will test you. Your boss will test you. Your employees will test you. Come on, your family will test you. Nobody wants to say amen. I'll say amen for you, amen, all right? All right, people, things in life will test you. They'll even be not only things or people will test you, as we talked last week on the people test, but situations will test you. Your health may test you. You might be tested by a circumstance that you don't know how to figure out, and it feels like, my goodness, I feel like this is testing my faith. Like this is challenging everything I believe. And I shared with you last week, again, theological statement, okay? So stay with me. Do not miss this one, because this is the premise of this whole teaching. Theological statement. God will not tempt you, but God will test you. You need to understand that about your Christian walk. Okay, God doesn't tempt you, but he will test you. He will allow you to go through tests. Now, why would God do such a thing? God allows it. Now, God doesn't do it, but he allows it. Why? God will not tempt us, but he will allow us to go through tests. And the reason why God allows it is because he is going to quiz you on everything he's taught you. Everything that you are learning, God says, I want you to apply it. We're going to find out if you've been learning or if there's anything in you that represents the God in which we've come from to show the world how good God is. And so we will be in life tested and to apply everything we've learned from God. Now, have you ever had a pop quiz in life? Wasn't ready for this one. Come on now. They come at you. And so it is our job to be prepared when these tests come, whether it's from a person, whether it's from a family member, whether it's from the doctor, whether it's our health, whether it's a situation, because these tests that God allows us to go through, even though God allows us to go through the test, God doesn't test us to fail us. God tests us to elevate us. God tests you, not so you can say, see, you're not good, but he tests you and he allows it. Matter of fact, God says he will never let you go beyond what you can bear. He'll always provide a way of escape. God always tests you to elevate you and to begin to show the world how much of a person of faith you really are. Someone just put a good amen on that. And so, you know, this is so important. Now, let me just read this verse, because again, it'll give us a catalyst to propel from. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5. I want to show this to you in the scripture so you know I'm not just making up this statement or this theological statement that God will test us. He won't tempt us, but he will test us. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of what types of kind? Some will say many kinds, okay? And so we get hit with all kinds of stuff in life. Doesn't matter. Jesus said, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust, okay? When it rains on everybody, okay? You don't just walk and it doesn't rain around you because, come on, it rains on everybody, okay? Verse 3, the Bible says, because you know that the what? Oh, Lord Jesus. The what? The testing of your faith produces perseverance. In other words, God will allow our faith to be tested because it will be producing something in our lives. Let's continue verse 4. The Bible says this. It says, let perseverance finish its work. In other words, let God continue to work in your life so that you may be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. God wants complete believers, men and women that serve him, not that are halfway. Verse 5, it says, and if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who does what? Gives generously without finding fault, and it will be what? Given unto us. I told you it's an open book test. How many just thankful for that, all right? God lets us get the answer from him, and so it's not like we're left without it, but God does allow us to go through the test, and we need to learn it from him. Now, why is that important? Because all of that allows us to view our Christian walk from the lens of, okay, God, I know that my life is going to have some test as I'm walking out my journey and the God call of my life. Okay, when we have that perspective, when something hits us, We are not surprised in the sense of like, how dare this come against your child, oh God? You know? But instead, we're like, okay, I'm ready for this. Well, I'm ready. I've been going to church. I've been worshiping the Lord. I heard the sermon. Okay, I'm ready for this lion. I'm ready for this bear. Instead, I'm not saying, oh God, how could this lion? How could this? And again, I'm not wishing it upon anybody. I'm not saying, you know, when you walk out, all of hell's gonna break loose. But if we're hashtag real talk, we live in a broken world, and no matter how perfect you try to be, there is some imperfect situations that come against you, and I want you to be prepared to overcome. Come on, to overcome that. The difference is knowing what's in front of you, amen? Now, when we look at David's life, David had some tests to pass, and we're gonna examine a few of those tests. Last week, I told you about the people test. But David had some tests that he had to pass before he was able to defeat his final exam, which was Goliath, okay? And so these tests were preparing him for his final exam, if we can, you know, loosely use that parallel, you know, his final exam, which was Goliath, and they were preparing him. Now, we looked at those types of tests, but the second test, last week I told you the people test, and if you missed it, go to our podcast or watch the program on Monday nights, which praise God for the big door, he's open. Come on, someone clap because we're able to preach the gospel, 25 million homes. But you can catch that last week, but today I want to talk about this test. So now let's zone in, okay? This second test. Now, the second test, it's going. I'm praying for you already. Come on, somebody. Me too. But this second test comes into the life of David, not before he was anointed, but it comes into the life of David after he was anointed. Okay. What does it mean to be anointed? To be anointed is to have this is to have the supernatural empowerment of God come on your life, or is to be set apart. It's like when you receive Jesus, the Bible says we all have an anointing. In other words, we all have a calling. We all have a purpose. Tell your neighbor, say, you have a purpose, okay? So we all have that in our lives. So when I use the word anointing, I'm not talking about that they put Crisco oil on your head, okay? I'm talking about, because old school church, now we do the little thing on your forehead. Back in the day, they just put the whole gallon of Crisco on you. You were shiny for 2 weeks. You're like, the devil couldn't get you because, anyway, you know, you just smell like Crisco. But we gotta do those services. We're gonna bring like hundreds of balls of Crisco. So we all have a purpose and a calling, all right? So say this, say, I have been anointed. Okay? Everyone in this room, when you receive Jesus, you have been anointed. Christ means the anointed one. Christos is in you. You have been anointed with a purpose and a calling. When David was anointed, this is now post his encounter, his coronation, if you want to say, where Samuel the prophet comes and says, David, you're God's chosen. David, you will be the next king. And in the sight of all his brothers, everybody sees David get this powerful anointing, this powerful calling in his life. But after David was anointed, the next thing he did, he didn't go to the palace. David went to the field. Help us, Jesus. David, when he was anointed, God didn't take him directly to the king's chair, directly to that fulfilled promise, directly to that massive calling. But instead, God took David and led him to a field. In other words, my anointing and my appointing are two different days. So although I receive a promise from God, the day of receiving it and it manifesting are two different times. What happens for a lot of us is we're like, no, the minute I receive it and I read the verse in the Bible that says all things come together for good, that should happen right now. Like, right now. There are two separate times. As a matter of fact, David received the anointing over his life, scholars believe, when he was about 16, 17 years old. But he did not become king until he was 30 years old. So there was 13 years until that promise was fulfilled in his life. Some of you are rebuking it already. I ain't waiting no 13 years. I've got a life to live, you know? My internal clock is ticking. I don't got no 13. Pastor, I got no 13 minutes. Matter of fact, 13 seconds. Come on. 13 years from his anointing to his appointing. And God didn't lead him straight to the palace. God led him to the field, which proves to us that if I avoid the field, then I will avoid my future. That if I rebuke the field, then in essence, I am rebuking my future. Now, I love to speak those things that are not as though they are. That's a great verse. And we should speak those things that are not as though they are, but you should not rebuke where you are, but instead be saying, I know where I am. I know where God has taken me, but I realize where I am, and God, you're preparing me, and my appointment is coming. I know I'm anointed, but God, come on, somebody, you're developing me. Someone just shout, God's developing me. Say it. God's developing me. Now, I want to talk to you about this second process. Okay, get ready. Praise the Lord. This second process, here it goes. Point number two, write this in. Point number one. It is the process called the patience test. Help us, Jesus. Anybody need a little help with this thing called patience? I'm raising my hand. Any honest people in church, all right? Come on, somebody. Some of you are like, you're testing my patience by having me raise my hand. It is called the patience test. It is the hurry up and wait test. It is the why? When? It is the when test. Where we know God, we know you're in control. When? Can I ask you an honest question? Is anything in your life right now testing your patience? Yes. Don't point. Come on. Please don't do that. Yeah. Some of you pointed to the kids' church. Come on, somebody. They're good kids. Over there. Is there anything in your life that is testing your patience right now? Okay. Let's all be honest. Of course there is. And to bring... We're all in good care here. That way, you know you're not like weird or anything. But if you having your patience tested right now, can you just lift your hand? Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead. All of us. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So we feel good. Come on, somebody, give God a clap. We're all okay. All right. You're good. So now you know it's not just me. Okay. You're like, is it just me? All of us. Now, if we're all honest, this thing called the patience test is probably one of the things that will irritate you the most in life. It is the waiting. It's the waiting. Like, I don't think there's anyone in this room who loves to wait. Like, who loves to wait? Like, if you love to wait, just give God a shout right now. If you love to wait, and like we're like, I love to wait. You know, like who loves to wait? Like, really? Like, you love traffic. Raise your hand if you love traffic. I mean, you just love. You're like, I love traffic is my hashtag fave. Like, I look for traffic. I'm driving. I'm going, which way takes the longest? That's the one I want to. Like, you know, like who, like, I love, like nobody likes to wait. Like, who looks for the longest line at the grocery stand? Like, you're like, which one's the longest? Okay, let me go to the longest one. You know, nobody. I mean, matter of fact, some of you, you are so, I'm careful how I say this, but you know, some of you are so OCD. You're like counting how many items someone has in their cart. 17, 14, 12, I'm going to this one. Those are big. There's a lot of little ones. I'm going to go, come on, somebody, you know. It's like it's just going to be a 60 seconds. Calm down. Just get in the line, you know? Like, we don't like, let's just be honest. We don't like to wait. Like, that, if we're all honest, is probably one of the most irritating things. And I'm going to tell you, it's in many areas of life. And as a matter of fact, our culture is actually set up that we are created to dislike waiting. You know, nobody likes to wait, you know, on the DMV. Some of us, you know, we don't like to wait. Actually, America is known for the impatient nation. That's what we're known, the impatient nation. We are the impatient nation. I mean, we want you know, quick answers to complex problems. We want overnight success. We want instant wealth, rapid recovery, fast weight loss. Because ain't nobody got no time to be work. I need it fast. This is going to come off, you know. I'm getting married in 2 weeks. Come on, I mean, come on, somebody. I mean, I want to lose weight, but fast. Hurry up, you know. I mean, we want fast food or fast weight loss. I don't know. But, you know, I want abs while watching the USC game. I don't want to actually play the game. I want to watch it and give me abs, you know. We want, you know, overnight shipping. Hurry up, FedEx. Ain't nobody got 2 days to be waiting on you. Some of you guys, you check on your package every day. We know you. You're like, it's in Ohio. What's it doing in Ohio for 2 days? Hurry up. Keep moving. Let me go back and check it. Oh, it's in Las Vegas. What's going on in Las Vegas?
Why is my package taking so long? I'm a prime Amazon, you know?
Come on, somebody. We drive fast. We do this. I don't know what it is about our culture, but even technology has caused us to be so impatient. I mean, you want to ruin someone's life? Give them slow Wi-Fi. That's like the devil. I got slow Wi-Fi. The devil is a liar. It is buffering. This is Paul said a demon from heaven was sent to buffet his flesh. This is buffeting my flesh, right? Come on now. I mean, we're like Wi-Fi, like slow Wi-Fi. The devil is a liar. Suffering out in these streets, you know. But, I mean, we're crazy, you know. We Instagram, get it? Instagram. Okay, no. All right. We are an impatient nation. We're an impatient nation. And I want to qualify that. Don't get me wrong. Of course, I love a quality of life that things can be faster. And I'm not looking to look for the longest line. But the problem is when we take culture and we try to put it into our calling. And we say, God, I got fast Wi-Fi. How come I don't have a fast God? Woo! I told you. Hold on. Like, God, what is it? You know, like, why do I feel like God, things that you do take long? What is it, God, that why are you taking long? And why is it that God, don't you realize that I'm in this situation and you need to hurry up? Because I'm anointed. Everybody saw me. They called me out. The prophet said, and I'm anointed. And we start to almost get an entitlement like, God, you need to hurry up. Have you ever felt like God takes long? Ever felt like God is late? It's okay. We're working this thing. Come on. You know? Where some of you are like, God, why are you taking so long? You have anybody who always shows up late? You know that person? Don't point. Come on. But isn't it something like the enemy tries to tell you that's God? That's what God is like. God is like that person who's always late. That's what God's like. Because they don't understand the importance, and God doesn't understand how important you are. This is what the devil will tell you. God doesn't realize how valuable you are. God, see, God is letting you suffer. What a mean God. The devil is a liar. Someone say the patience test. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, say, we got to pass this test. You see, there are some things, listen to me now, big point here. There are some things we will only learn by waiting. Some things you only learn by waiting. There is a big difference between no and not yet. Massive difference. Big difference between no and not yet. How many parents are in this place? How many kids are your kids tell you stuff like, I want it? You're like, not yet. You know, not yet. And you tell them, it's not because I don't love you, but you ain't ready for that. And they think, yeah, I am. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to drive. Judah, you are not ready to drive. I am. Like my son, he loves telling me like I'm coaching the team. And he loves telling me how to coach the team. He already wrote plays for the team, you know? We have a couple kids that are on the team. They want to do different plays. And my son, Judah, tells him, maybe we'll give you a shot. I'm like, wait, I'm the coach. Come on. You're going to give them a shot? You know, this guy. Where he thinks I got this under control, you know? But isn't it so true that often we come to God that way? That we're like, God, you know, I know what's going on. And God's like, not yet. And when God says not yet, we're like, but I'm an Amazon Prime, Lord. Like, I got 2 days shipping. How come you're taking four? But we got to remember this. And please remember what I'm telling you. You might be able to get rush shipping, but you will never rush God. Because God is not on our schedule. We are on His schedule. And God is working things out for our favor. And our response is, God, I trust you and I trust your timing. If there's anybody in this room who wants to trust God's timing, give God a clap and just say, I'm going to wait on God. Say that. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to wait on God. Let me read you this verse, Proverbs 16:32. Let me break this one down. Proverbs 16:32. Here's what the Bible says. Someone say, the Bible says? Book of Proverbs says, better a patient person than a warrior. One with self-control than the person or one who takes a city. I could taste how good that scripture is because I need it. Come on, somebody. Better a patient person than a warrior. Now, hashtag real talk. How many brethren would rather be a better warrior than a patient person? Like, I wish they said, better the warrior. Yeah, I want to be a warrior. Come on, fellas. You're like, yeah. Nobody can outthink me. Right? We'd rather, better the warrior. But the scripture says, no, better the patient person than a warrior. It's almost an anomaly. But this is the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. The Bible says better a patient person than a warrior, and it's because a warrior is all about fighting, where a patient person is all about fighting the right fights. Where when you have a warrior mentality, you're used to just always fighting. You ever met a feisty person? Don't point. Okay. Like they love to fight. They will turn anything into an argument. It doesn't matter. They'll turn it into an argument. They will stir the pot even. They'll say to the people, you gonna let them do that to you? I wouldn't. Like, really? You'll even fight other people's fights. It ain't even your fight, but you get in. I saw it. They say impatient is the mouth working faster than the mind. Okay. But the scripture says a patient person is better than a warrior because a warrior is a feisty person. A warrior is a person who will start fighting things they were never meant to fight. And it is an absolute tragedy when we operate from impatience, because an impatient person is usually tired because they're fighting all kinds of things. They're jumping into all kinds of things. And they're so tired from fighting that they're too tired to wait on God. But God says better is a patient person who says, I ain't gonna try to get involved in all of that. What I'm involved in is I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on His promises. His timing is perfect, and I'm gonna trust Him. And I don't gotta fight that. God fights my battles. I'm faithful, and God is, He begins to send my enemies. Someone say amen. Tell your neighbor, say, better a patient person. Tell you, say, be patient. Tell him, be patient. Be patient. Scripture says, slow to speak, but quick to listen. We got one mouth, two ears. There's a reason. Listen twice, then you're speaking. Patient people. Patient people. You see, patient person is a person that will be a person of destiny. It's this thing called patience. Believe, trust me what I'm teaching you right now. David had to be patient. 13 years. 13 years. 13 years. 13 years. Do you know, I've been serving God now for almost 21 years, and I'm going to tell you right now, one of the number one killers of destiny, someone giving up their destiny, it wasn't because the devil got them, it's just that they were impatient. They were impatient. They wouldn't wait on God. They like, I love you, God, but your timing. More mistakes are made by being impatient than the devil getting you. Impatience is the cause of jumping in to the wrong relationship. I don't want Mr. Right. I just want right now. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Come on, somebody. Impatience, you jump in the room because, you know, I don't got time to wait around, Lord. I'll just take this one. Come on. I don't have time for Boaz. I'll just get married right here. Impatience is the number one reason why people jump into things. You just jump in. Impatience is why someone will jump into the wrong business, into the wrong investment. Impatience is why somebody will jump, you know, into the wrong job, the wrong situation. Things that you know God never called you to, but you were just impatient and you settled right there. And how the next door neighbor to impatient is called regret. And how many people would say, if I would have just waited longer, if I would, I would never have this jalopy car. Come on, somebody. They got you. Do you know that American marketing makes millions off of people's impatience? That's their whole thing, is to get you to say you need it right now. You know, because it's on sale. Like, it's on sale. 20% off. It's never gonna happen again. You know why people are in credit card debt? Impatience. Because credit card debt, by definition, is using tomorrow's money today. And so, because you couldn't wait and to save up for it, you'll say, I'll just do that, and I'll get it right now. And then you spent tomorrow's money today, and now you're in debt. And now you're like, but what got you is impatience. You should just wait. It's okay. The sale will be there. And if it's not there, it's all right. It's not worth it to let impatience get you into a situation that you later regret is holding you back from your future or holding you back from an opportunity. We need to learn to wait. Somebody clap like we're going to be patient people in this house. Come on, say amen. You see, Being impatient is the enemy of God's plan for your life. It is the enemy of God's plan for your life. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Watch what the Bible says. The Bible says, they wait on the Lord. They shall what? Renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like what? Eagles. The scripture declares that when we wait on God, watch, let me break this down. When we wait on God, the Bible says that we're going to renew our strength. That there is actually a renewal that happens when you wait on God. In other words, not that God is going to get something else in your life, but God is going to renew the strength that's already had been there that you lost from being impatient. God's like, I'm going to renew your tank. I'm going to renew the love in your marriage. I'm going to renew the unity that was there. I'm going to renew that love for God that you used to have. He says, when you start waiting on God and kill the impatience, the impulses, the quick gratification, you say, God, no, I'm going to be right here. I'm not giving up my destiny for anything. I'm going to wait on no matter how long it takes, God, because I'd rather have a God thing than a me thing. I'd rather have God put it together than me try to put it together, because when God brings it, it's going to be really good. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, wait on God. Come on, tell him, wait on God. Wait on God. You see, waiting on God is one of the most key things. Now, write this down somewhere in your notes. Write this down somewhere in your notes. When we are in this patient test of life, and some of you might be in here right now in a patience test of life, you're saying, when God? Might be a health issue, might be a relational issue, might be a destiny issue, and you're saying, when God? Write this down. Trust God's timing. Write that down somewhere. Trust God's timing. We have to trust God's timing. To say I trust God but not trust his timing is not possible, because a lot of us are like, God, I love you, but I can't trust your timing. You need to hurry up, Lord. Like, hurry up. Like, what are you doing? Do you got like a sign on in heaven, be back in 100 years? You need to hurry up, God. God, what's going on? And one of the biggest issues in Christian, I'm trying to prepare you. I'm trying to give you gold nuggets. I'm trying to help you. One of our biggest tests in preparation for what God wants to do in your life is the patience test. Can you wait on God? Can you trust him on his timetable? Because we all have our timetable. We have our schedule. It's like, God, here's my schedule. You know, you need to hurry up. But we're not, God's not fitting into our schedule. We fit into his schedule. We trust him. And we're saying, God, no matter what it takes, I'm going to trust you, because I want to be built by God, not built by me. How many know God's plan is better than our plan? His ways are higher than our ways. How many know his thoughts are higher than our thoughts? God sees it from a perspective that we don't see it. And the better we understand this, the more you will walk in life. And when you're in a field, when you're fighting lions, bears, all this different stuff, you'll know, God, all of this is not killing me for my destiny, but this is preparing me for what you're doing in my life. And I'm not going to give up. I'm going to wait on you. The promise of God still stands. Every promise of God is yes and amen. And not one of God's promises will fail. Someone just put a good amen on that. You see, God's timing is everything. Matter of fact, in life, this is a true principle. Timing is everything. Say that with me. Timing is everything. They say, you know, my background is investments. Timing is everything. To buy a stock, you know, at the right time is everything. To see a business opportunity is everything. To see an investment, timing is everything. In a relationship, timing is everything. Timing is everything when it comes down to things. And I want to tell you, who better to trust than the God, the maker of heaven and earth, with your timing? God, you're in control. Psalms 27 and verse 13, watch what David says as it pertains to being in God's time. You see, David learned this, and I want to show you here in the book of Psalms. David writes this psalm, and speaking of God's time, and he says this, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, my God. This is going to help somebody get through another week. This is going to help somebody get through another year. This is going to help somebody get through another 5 years. Is if you, in the midst of your field, say, I'm confident of this. There's one thing I'm confident. I'm not confident in my power. I'm not confident in a doctor's power. I'm not confident in a person. I'm confident in God that I'm going to see what he promised me. Come on, in my life. Come on, is there anybody in this room who can put their confidence in God? He said, I'm confident. Now, confidence is a big thing because where you place your confidence is where your strength will come from. If you put your confidence in yourself, that's why your strength is low. If you put your confidence in a person, you will be discouraged. If you put your confidence in what a doctor could do, you will quickly. The doctor says, there's nothing we can do. Okay, and I'm not belittling that. But if your confidence is to that level, then there is the tank of your strength. But if your confidence is in an unlimited God who is limited by nothing, then my strength is always blessed because God, my confidence is in you and I will wait on you. I will go through whatever process for your glory and for your, come on, your worship. Say amen. Now watch this, verse 14. Verse 14, he said, I'm confident this is David. David says, wait for the Lord. Someone say, wait for God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I know you didn't want to say it, but say it. Wait for God. Wait for the Lord. He says, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. David makes this appeal to God's people. He said, listen, I was where you're at. I knew what it felt to be anointed and have to wait 13 years to get to where God has brought me to. And he's encouraging all of us even to this day saying, be confident. You're going to see God's promises in your life. Don't give up. Don't you throw in the towel just yet. Don't you stop reading your Bible just yet. Don't you stop praying because you haven't seen what you thought you'd see by this time on your schedule. Don't you stop coming to church. Don't you stop worshiping him. Don't you start loving God just because you have not seen the result that you thought by this time by now it should be like XYZ. Don't you do that. No. Don't you do that. But in fact, allow David to minister to you, say, wait for God, because David said, there was one time I thought a lion was going to kill me. I thought a bear was going to kill me. There was one time I thought God forgot about me because I was on the backside of a hill. My dad hated me. My brothers made fun of me. And I was the laughingstock of the block. Everybody said, there's that guy. They said he was going to be king, but he's just picking up sheep stuff. He's just dealing. He thought he was going to be. We were all that service. He got anointed, Chris got oil, shout, and he went back. But look at where he's at now. There's no call of God on his life. God forgot about him. He's all washed up. She's all washed up. She's had been thrown out. Ain't nobody. She ain't even sitting at the king's table. Don't look like a queen. Doesn't even look like a king. Look at the jalopy they drive. Look at the position they're at. They barely got a part-time job. They barely got their wits together. Look at that. She's just a bag of worry, a bag of problems. There's no kingly anointing. There's nothing on his life. David says, let me testify to Freedom House Church. Let me testify about waiting on what waiting on God does. And David begins to stir it up and say, listen, I was anointed at 17, but I got appointed at 30. And if you would ever wait on God, if you would ever have your confidence in heaven, God will lift you up where no man can take you, no woman can place you, no doctor can heal you to, but only God. Is there somebody in this room who will trust the process and trust God? I'm gonna give you 5 seconds to tell God you're gonna wait on him. 1, 2, 3, God! My God, I wish there were 5 people. I'll wait on you, God. I'll wait on you, heaven. I'll wait on you, God. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care, Lord. I don't care how long. I don't care how long. I don't care how long. You're faithful. Come on. Your promise. Yes, God. I don't care. Yes, Lord. Come on. Come on, begin to say this. Say it with faith. Let the person hear you. Let the devil hear you. Let the demons in hell hear your faith and begin to just say, I don't care how long it takes. Say that. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how long it takes. I've been anointed. I have been called. I have been set apart. I have been saved. I was baptized. I heard the promise. I heard the voice of God. I know what the Holy Spirit told me, and I'm not going to give up that destiny no matter what I face, no matter who forgot about me, no matter who rejected me. I'm going to be patient. My
my feet are right here, right here, right here. They're in Jesus, right here. And I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be shaken. Oh, the wind comes, the storm comes, but is there anybody who can lift your hands and say, I'm not going anywhere, devil? Come on, I see you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. To find out more about Freedom House Church, visit us at freedomhouseoc.org.